So, yeah, hotels was the main topic again at the Asheville City Council. David Forbes, thanks so much for joining us. Let's get into it. What happened in this gigantic long meeting?
So the meeting was also long because, as we've seen, and we saw the last meeting as well, the public really, really came out and really weighed in. And going in, this wasn't entirely a surprise. As I'm sure, you know, will come as a shock to the listeners. Ashevillians hate hotels. Really, they are probably the most widely hated industry in the entire city, partly because there's been this massive explosive growth in them. They push out locals. A lot of them, locals, can't even stay at hotels, will deny locals the ability to, even their houses, especially their houses on odd occasions. And also, you know, they cater to tourists. They don't have amenities for locals. They often push out things for locals. And they generally come along with, you know, police crackdowns and more evictions, things like that, because the hoteliers want neighborhoods to be tourist attractions, not places where people actually live. So you've seen a lot of hotels in recent years. And after the city council's controversial vote to turn the Flatiron into a hotel, in 2019, the backlash ramped up even more, and council, under a lot of public pressure, finally said, okay, hotel moratorium for a year. That got extended in this past September due to the pandemic. I sent it February, and it expires later this month. So I think when a lot of people, you know, heard, okay, they're doing a moratorium and there's some new rules in hotels, they figure, given the kind of context, these rules would be more restrictive. You know, that would make it even harder to get a hotel through. But that's not what happened. City staff, who are notoriously pro-hotelier, and specifically the staff writing these rules, have played key roles in, you know, bending over backwards to approve some previous hotel projects, including the Flatiron. They wrote these rules, and not shockingly, they take power away from city council, which used to have to hear every hotel. And if the moratorium just expired, that's what would happen. City council would have to sign off on every single hotel, whether it's one room or 100 rooms. These rules would take that away. Control would go almost entirely to city staff in key areas of the city, and they'll claim, oh, this control city staff would have is only 8% of the city, but it's the 8% that matters for hotel development, like downtown River Arts District, you know, near Southside, near these areas that are really, really, like, gentrification is really rapidly pushing in, swaths of West Asheville. If you're a hotel, you're looking to build a really profitable hotel, this is where you're going to build. Mm-hmm. And they made it, this rules will make it easier, not harder, for hotels to go in those areas. City staff would have approval. Wouldn't even go before, like, a city commission, really. There would be a design commission that wouldn't even be directly appointed by city council. And it would just consider the aesthetics. And if you know, people are paying attention, Ashevillians aren't exactly out in the streets over, like, we want the hotels to be prettier. The rallying cry lately has been no more hotels.
Right, and we see these signs all over town right now, and people are upset. But wouldn't, I mean, on its face, David, this seems like, well, two things. It seems like, I'm sure the council members are happy not to have this in their laps anymore, quite frankly, because they have been hearing from the public for a year and a half or 2 years or more every time they try to approve a hotel. And then the other thing is that on its face, it kind of looks like, oh, well, we've designated zones, you know, in areas of town. Yeah. And there's a commission that has to approve this. Are planning and zoning not involved in this?
Interestingly, no. I mean, they might have some influence in who gets on the design commission. It's this very remote process who actually gets on that. It's not even like, you know, usually commission council will appoint them, and commissions have their own issues. We should note, from 2010 to 2017, the planning board and staff had control over almost all hotels getting approved, the very largest of them. And what did we see? We saw a giant wave of hotels, and that was the point. Those rules were written to allow hoteliers to build a lot more hotels. And the planning board, for example, is generally like people like realtors, architects, developers. They make money off the hotel industry. They're not going to, you know, rein it in. That's not in their interest. Initially, that's kind of what we saw leading up to this. The new rules were announced a week ago, basically. They were announced last Tuesday. They've been brewing for a little bit. The final version was announced then, so about a week before the council meeting. And the planning board public hearing, there's supposed to be one on Friday where the public could weigh in, But they said the public hearing wasn't actually a public hearing and banned public comment when people tried to weigh in.
Wow.
Yeah. So, and granted, like this is a massive open meetings law violation. You know, like the laws are already set up in favor of government anyway. They write them, of course. But like they broke it, even their own rules in this case. And that got a lot of people angry. At that meeting at which we Blade covered a little bit. One of the planning board members actually let slip like the whole point of this wasn't to benefit the public or make any. It was to create, quote, clarity and predictability for out-of-town developers looking to build hotels. And if you ask most people in Asheville, the vast majority, if that's something anyone cares about, the answer will be a resounding no. And indeed, combined with the city's eviction of the homeless, of the houseless camp, and not even notifying, like, service providers, literally the day before they created these new rules, and that eviction took place because someone wrote into the city anonymously and complained about the aesthetics for tourists of seeing houseless people. That's literally all it was, and they demolished people and cast them in this frigid cold. Very dangerous move, very horrible and cruel. So that's kind of the context of this. The night before the council meeting on Monday night, you saw 100 people in the streets in Asheville against this.
Mm-hmm.
And calling for this to be rejected, for the moratorium to be extended, for hotels, frankly, to be shut down for the rest of the pandemic. They're a major spreader of disease, which has only increased resentment against the industry for very understandable reasons. When hotels were reopened, you saw like outbreaks really, really ramp up in Asheville for obvious reasons. We've seen study after study. This is one of the most dangerous industries to keep open during a pandemic is hotels and, like, restaurant, indoor dining, tourism industries. So that's the context of this. And I'll just say, someone who's covered the city for a long time, 100 people in the streets in February is almost unheard of. That is, that is a very sizable demonstration. But people are angry. And so council took this up due to kind of some weirdness of the state's, remote meeting law. They won't vote on this until February 23rd. And it was definitely like this weird division, because what staff are saying is that in return for, hotels getting not having to go before council, they'll have to give quote unquote public benefits in return. They'll have a point system, they'll get certain points for different public benefits and things like that. These benefits are things like, reuse of a historic building, which, the Flatiron infamously did. Or, they make a donation to the City's Affordable Housing Fund or Future Reparations Fund. But those donations are like a few $100,000. And that's a lot of money for you or I. For a hotel, like, that's for some of these hotels especially, that's barely anything. They make tons of money off these things. That is a tiny, tiny, tiny percent of their profits. And not really enough to really benefit the public very much. So, and also, like, at the end of the day, like, as a number of commenters made the point, like, these are bribes. None of this offsets the damage done to communities that hotels do when they come in and start pushing people out.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where things are. As far as council, though, it's interesting. They're kind of almost like in a different world. Like, none of them took an outright no more hotel stance. And to be clear, some of them have said, we can't ban hotels, but that's false. If it's up to council to approve every single hotel, which it would be if the moratorium expires, they can just say no to every single hotel that comes before them. And in fact, the city's done this with Airbnbs. Airbnbs are not technically banned. Anyone can request an exception to a rule from council. Any developer can, but they have to go directly for council, and given how unpopular they are, they're going to get rejected, and people kind of know that. And the attempts to build them have kind of, at least legally, have kind of like tapered off since council kind of put that ban in place, de facto ban. They could do the same thing with hotels. There's no reason why they couldn't, except that they don't want to. Like you said, they want this out of their laps because voting for hotels is very unpopular. When they were responsible for occasions of pressure were so much they did reject a hotel, which saw the people that give them money and, who they really cared about, which are rich people. And so at the end of the day, like, they would love for this to just, throw up their hands and say, this is out of our hands, it's not our fault, when they were the ones who made it that way. And multiple commenters made that point. But even Kim Roney, who is, ran on opposing this kind of hotel development, said that she wanted to, quote, get to yes, like have some more public benefits, maybe leave some more areas of town out of these zones. And so it's interesting. And, you know, I've never – so I've seen the words get to yes used for city policy over the years. It never results in anything good, just bluntly. Like, it always is like we're going to basically go with whatever this bad proposal is, and maybe we'll try to get some minor concessions. That's how we got, like, a voided police department and hotels everywhere. So, but the public's mood was very different. Almost every commenter was completely against this in one way or another. The closest you had to people not being completely against it were people saying, oh, you know, we have to drastically redo the public benefits. That'd be much more considerable. That'd be much harder to get a hotel through. That'd be, like, way more public input, which are not things I see, like, city staff giving up or doing in this. And, you know, the point being, they're repeatedly like, no more hotels. We don't want any more. You could just not approve them when they come forward. Like, don't pretend this is out of your hands. You know, one commenter kind of summed up, I think, the public mood when they said that, you know, to council, like, you may live in this city, but you're clearly not part of our communities if this is what you're going to do. And that seemed to be kind of the mood of the entire meeting.
Right.
You know, so far it was that council leaned towards approving these in some form. Some of them did express some reluctance. Councilor Sage Turner, who was overall seemed kind of favorable about these rules. And I should note that this is actually a part where, like, multiple council members are either in industries where they do directly profit from hotel development. Mm-hmm. The mayor is a land use attorney. You know, her firm represents developers a fair amount, including hotel developers. Sandra Kilgore is a realtor and has been so far the member, like, probably just most in favor of passing this through without many changes. And Sage Turner literally tried to get the city to back a private hotel deal of hers at one point. Mm. So, like, that's kind of the context that's happening in. But, yeah, it was interesting to see, like, that kind of gulf. But Turner even said, hey, maybe we could, like, work on these rules a little more, and in the meantime, you know, let's let the moratorium expire, and then all hotels have to go before council. So, like, it'll be interesting to see what happens. I think there is some wariness on council's part, but I think also they're looking to what happened with Keith Young, the incumbent councilman who lost this election. And he almost certainly lost because he voted for hotels repeatedly, despite the voters who put him in office wanting him to vote against them.
But as a strategy, as a political strategy, it's not a bad idea. All you have to do is get this approved today or next week, 27th. At the next meeting, 23rd, at the next meeting, and then nothing, you know, like, sure, public outcry will be loud and it'll be heard, and then a year will go by and it'll be handled by somebody else, and it won't be a council issue anymore, and then you have an election. So it's not a, you know, I'm not as hopeful as you in terms of what this next vote was going to
I mean,
prove.
I wouldn't say hopeful. I think I've said there's a lot of public opposition. Council is leaning towards approving these.
Yeah.
Unless something major happens. You know, and to be fair, like, I think I've said that from the beginning. Like, even the council member who was most clearly against this beforehand, Kim Roney, has turned around and, like, started taking a more supportive stance of, like, letting more hotels in. And, yeah, I think they are making that calculus. To be fair, it didn't entirely work the first time. Like, when they did that, you know, the last decade, the profusion of hotels and council people saying they couldn't do anything about them was actually a reason why incumbents lost in the 2015 elections, for example. And that was with way less attention on the issue and, like, how it works in council's process.
Right.
So, like, I do think we have a more mobilized public. We'll see how that plays out. But, like, I think, and we saw this at the last meeting where, like, council got blasted at a meeting in January. I think some of their assumptions around, like, people's interest and rage going away have just not proven correct. They might have a few years ago, but, like, they really haven't this time. Like, people are still demanding, like, defunding. People are still demanding, like, a halt to hotels. Like, that's not changed, really. And people are so close to capable, you know, in the middle of winter of, like, getting fairly sizable numbers of people on the street, more so than we'd seen in previous years. So, like, the ground shifts in that way. So, like, you know, we'll see. I think, you know, so far it looks like they are likely to pass this, but who knows, a lot can happen in 2 weeks as far as public pressure.
Right. The public is gearing up for pressure. They started it early in this week. So.
Exactly. Yeah. The public is absolutely geared up for that. So yeah, we will see. I mean, they also said I remember back in 2019 when we were told a moratorium was impossible, and then they got tired of getting yelled at on the street by like people in the city, and they suddenly passed one. So who knows? But yes, so far it looks like council really wants to not have to vote on hotels and wants to wring their hands and use the excuse that it's someone else's fault, which is a favorite of theirs. And, you know, meanwhile, let the gentrification continue unabated. Mm-hmm. But I think, you know, I mean, we saw this fall, you know, there was a day of action partly against the hotel industry. You know, as far as like banners and like stuff being painted in places and things like that, like, I think, like, you know, and that was before these rules were even coming forward. So, like, and there were other reasons for that, too. It was also tied to defunding. You know, these issues are certainly tied together. But, like, I think, okay, well, you pass this, people aren't going to stop, you know, fighting the hotel industry in this town. I think, like, that, people getting mobilized around that has happened at this point, and it's going to keep happening. And shockingly, though, you know, politicians, I think so, like, as long as the cause of anger is still there, the anger is going to continue, and people are going to find ways to express that and use it.
Wow. And it continues, right? Right into 2021.
Yeah.
So go ahead. Just kind of checking to see if there was any other business that was attended to.
So interestingly, that was the major item, though it was interesting. Kind of what didn't happen was also interesting. The city had a proclamation at the beginning of the meeting, but it was, you know, supporting quote unquote local business, which came off as kind of bizarre given, you know, how many sadly local businesses have also been terrible during the pandemic. Have clearly, like, marketed to tourists and things like that, or, like, you know, had horrible working conditions and, you know, sickened people, stayed open during COVID outbreaks. But there's another aspect to this, too. Like, Asheville just saw, like, you know, the city brutally attack last summer, like, a large, you know, civil rights demonstrations and uprisings. Like, you know, it is Black History Month, and the only proclamation they have is telling people to shop in the middle of a pandemic. I think that kind of speaks to how absolutely, like, be in a different reality city council is from, like, you know, from where the rest of us live. There was, and I should know, actually, like, there are ways to put pressure on council, and as a matter of fact, the Blade article, lies, you know, lies, damn lies, and hotel regulations, which is up on our site right now, has direct lines for council members. You don't have to wait for a meeting to, you know, call them. Certainly people and their friends and communities can decide how to take action themselves as well. It doesn't have to be a council meeting. Mm-hmm. But people were raising this issue about this massive development going in right in the border between Asheville and Woodfin in the Richmond Hill area. It's called the Bluffs. It's going to be like 1,500 units of, like, luxury condos. And so a lot of people are calling in to oppose that. It should be like, this is in Woodfin. Asheville doesn't directly have power to approve or not approve this. But they were saying the environmental and traffic impacts on Asheville are going to be so devastating. And this includes, like, the head of the local Sierra Club, that that the city has a right, like, through their legal department to intervene and, like, you know, and say, look, we are an interested party because of the impact this development would have on our infrastructure in our city. So we'll see if that happens. You know, like, the city legal department tends to be pretty conservative, even by city standards. You know, but, like, it's interesting, there was that push, and it was tying into the same issues, like, around gentrification, around just, like, everything catering to the wealthy rather than most of us who live here. But, yeah, there were a lot of people in public comment really pressing on that as well.
Yeah, and you mentioned Black History Month and maybe the tone deafness of the council. We did pass a reparations bill some time ago, or at least forming a committee to figure out what reparations are going to look like.
No committee.
Not even a committee during Black History Month. We also voted, I think, to remove the Vance Monument, and no movement there either here in Black History Month. So worth noting.
Yeah, and that's a really good point on both those issues. And actually, this came up some last night, too. A member of the city's own Human Relations Commission, which is supposed to deal with issues of equity, called in and was like, wait, these hotel rules are massively affecting on gentrification and equity in the city. We never saw them. The equity office, the city's own equity office, never really had a serious role in these either. Mm-hmm. So, you know, And that camp again, contacted on people like, you know, your commitment to equity is lip service. Even other cities in the South have been doing far more on that front. Again, not because, you know, city governments are ever really good. They're not. But, like, they are at least have a more of a read on, you know, people are justifiably angry. We need to do something. But in Asheville, the rule from City Hall seems to be we change nothing ever. Unless it's moving in a direction that's friendlier to, you know, white wealthy people. So that's where we are, and, you know, we will see what happens.
Definitely. Well, David Forbes, again, the article is Lies, Damn Lies, and Hotel Regulations, available at AshevilleBlade.com. You might want to check that out. And we appreciate your reporting and you joining us, as always.
Always a pleasure.